So, really interesting dilemma. You mentioned the issue of toxicity, and the other person that's on the same program that you are that I interviewed is Andy Zelenets, and he raised a concern that I actually haven't heard anybody else raise, which is of the toxicity, specifically deaths in patients who got bendamustine, both with rituximab as well as obinutuzumab, was in the range of 4 to 5%. And he has come to the conclusion that he doesn't want to use bendamustine anymore in follicular lymphoma, which, as you say, I think is the most common chemotherapy regimen. He's thinking more about RCVP, et cetera. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so I think you have to be very careful when you look at that data. So that trial was not designed in a way that allows us to examine the difference between the chemotherapy backbone. So it was an institution choice of chemotherapy. So if you participated in that trial, you chose your chemotherapy up front, and everybody at that institution got that chemotherapy. So there was no randomization to the chemotherapy, is what I'm trying to say. What it did mean, though, and when we look at the clinical characteristics of the patients by which chemotherapy they were given, there probably was some patient selection of who was entered in the trial at different institutions. So if you look at the clinical characteristics of patients treated on the trial who received the bendamustine, they actually tended to be a little bit older and had more morbidities. So I don't think that the patients are. So, for example, if an institution had chosen CHOP as their chemotherapy backbone, they probably weren't going to put on their oldest patients on that trial. So there was a selection where those patients probably didn't get on the trial. So I think it's unfair to just look at the chemotherapy arms and then compare the toxicity because the patients are different. The patients on the bendamustine arm are actually different. But what Dr. Zelenets is concerned about is they did report about a 5% death from toxicity with the bendamustine antibody combinations. And that's, higher than anybody would like to see in an upfront treatment for a disease that is generally indolent and we think the patients can live for a very long time with. And the question is that a real finding? Do we need to be worried about it? Certainly, I think doctors need to be aware of it, that the risk of death actually came from a risk of infection. And those infections, many of them were delayed and fell during the maintenance phase. So I think it's important data to be aware of. And I think that doctors need to take symptoms of infection very seriously in patients who have received bendamustine or rituximab or obinutuzumab or patients who are ongoing in maintenance. And even after the maintenance finishes, some of those patients can succumb to infection because the immunosuppression can be prolonged. But short of being very vigilant and taking early signs of infection seriously, it hasn't stopped me from using bendamustine because I think it's a very effective agent. And given the alternatives, I still think that it's a lower toxicity profile compared to using R-CHOP, for example.